You are now listening to Recovery Radio. I'm Johnny, and she's Denise.
Hello, everyone.
And today we're going to talk about just talking about. There's some things coming up in September. September is National Recovery Month.
Yahoo! Yee-hee. Awesome. Yee-haw. That's great. And there are some things going on in September for that.
Yeah, and Latah Recovery Center has got a line of things coming up. Starting on August 31st, it's going to be the I Roar Breakfast. And there's a motorcycle ride across Idaho, and they're going to stop and visit all nine of the recovery centers. And on 31st, they'll be stopping in Moscow at the 1912 Center for breakfast from 9 to 11 a.m. And I understand if you want to join them for a little piece of the ride, you're welcome to do that. Check them out at the I Roar Breakfast on August 31st, 9 o'clock in the morning.
So, Johnny, let me ask you a question. So this motorcycle ride that they're doing through the state to see the recovery centers, is this kind of in the recovery related? These people are in recovery and they're... What's it about? Tell me what it's about.
Not necessarily. What I understand about it is it's primarily just to raise awareness of... the fact that there are these recovery centers throughout the state. You know, we don't get a whole lot of press. You know, we're underfunded and sure. Overutilized, and which is as it should be. But when you do an event like this motorcycle ride, it brings attention to it.
Sure,
you know,
I agree.
It'll bring in the local news, maybe even the national news, and. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just getting the word out there because, you know, we're still fighting to help remove the stigma that's attached to, you know, recovery from mental health, drug addiction, alcoholism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hear a lot about it, you know, all the Hollywood stars and stuff that, you know, go into rehab and then come out and go crazy again, go
back
into rehab.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, I mean... I'm not trying to bag on the press or anything, but I'm just saying it's usually the bits and pieces I get. It sounds kind of dramatic when it's talked about. And I understand that. I mean, even my stuff in recovery can be dramatic, but it sounds so, just in my opinion, just so kind of Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
I wish, and then maybe in some areas in the news, there is a more touching story to what's going on with some of the people. I mean, I have heard over time, like later, about different actors or actresses that, you know, and their story gets shared and stuff like that. But in a news clip or a headline,
right.
It's kind of like, you know, one of
Demi
those.
Demi Lovato ODs.
Yeah, I mean,
and,
there's just not a lot of what I would like to hear, you know, kind of a thing too. Well, more real instead of just so removed, like oh, they're just you know, that's their profession and they just go crazy and it's so drama and you know what I'm
right,
saying?
Exactly.
There's more heart to it. They're people. We're all people. We all matter.
Well,
you know?
And I get to, you know, I think I share some of your feelings on that. And one of the things that kind of irks me a little bit is you know, they also it's promotion, it's self-promotion, and
sure,
you know who
sure.
who knows, well, you're famous for going into rehab, Lindsay Lohan, let's create another crisis for you,
sure,
because
get your name in the news.
Your name is dropped down on the list of things that are going on. And I doubt Lindsay is listening right now, but my apologies. I mean, I just threw that name out because she is the face of relapse,
sure,
you know, for these Hollywood folks. And, you know, you just wonder, you get to a point where it's just like, oh yeah, they're going into rehab. And in a way it kind of gives rehab a bad name. It's like, evidently, you know, not everybody that goes to rehab obviously is going to get sober and stay sober. Mm-hmm. But the success stories are quiet.
Right. And see, and I'd like to hear more of those. And I mean, I look at it compassionately, I guess that'd be the right word, and think it must be some difficulty in being famous and having money and having certain connections that, you know, just come along with that. And it must really be a struggle with their lifestyle and things like that, you know? So, I mean, I see that side of things, I would assume.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, I mean, you just... I just hope that they start to succeed, and whatever the roadblocks are that keep causing a relapse can be addressed.
Right. And there are,
because there's so many people that do succeed.
I'm know of a fellow who was on a real popular comedy program in the 80s. I won't use his name. And then he went on to have a late night talk show, and he's been in recovery for quite a while. He brings up his recovery at appropriate times. He even, as a guest on his show, had Princess Leia. I can't think of her name.
I'm not sure if I remember her name, but of course, we know who she
Debbie
is.
Debbie Reynolds' daughter. How can I can remember that, but I can't remember her. Anyway, she was
my husband would so know her name.
Yeah,
because he thought she was hot.
And then the two of them were doing a little tongue in cheek, recovery talk at the time. You know,
sure.
Obviously this was years ago, before she had, evidently a relapse and mm-hmm. died just recently. So yeah, there are the people that I think represent, the face of sobriety well, but in the big book, the AA big book, they talk about, you have to maintain anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And the reason for that is, what if you do fall down?
Yeah.
Does that give the whole program a black eye? Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's not so much that. It's, if you do fall down and you're out there and very public, it's like, wow, this person has everything in the world going for them. Mm-hmm. Their life's back on track and they failed. Well, why should I even try?
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's important to just, if everybody could try to remember that, it's partly because they're so in the public eye, and then you don't hear about as much of the people who go through the program and succeed, in the public eye, because they move on with life.
Right.
They are doing like what you and I are doing. They're succeeding and they've got goals and they're accomplishing
right.
things and things like that. And they're living well. And we just don't hear about that as much.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And with good reason.
Absolutely.
Like you said,
move
they're
forward.
They're living their sober life.
Yeah.
They don't have time to necessarily come out and look at me. Look at
right.
me. I'm the,
because
they realize, hey,
yeah.
If I'm serious about this, it's between me and my mm-hmm. higher power mm-hmm. and the person I choose to share.
That's what I was going to say. I'm sure in their life they do at the appropriate time share things.
I'm sure they touch, and they can touch a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So,
mm-hmm. Anyway, so little side area there on some stuff. But if we're going to go back to what we were talking about. Okay, so. Oh, okay.
The big one.
So, so this is important to remember. Phones, pencils, paper, whatever you need to do. September 15th, next month, Latah Recovery Center's third birthday. And that is, that's awesome. I mean.
It's miraculous.
It really is. It just, we're so blessed. So blessed in so many ways. So Latah Recovery Center is hosting a birthday bash and open house. Come join us for cake and finger food from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Again, September 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. See what our community has built. And seriously, I would invite anyone, whether you are in recovery or just a person that lives here. I mean, in our community, you just never really know when you might come across a situation that you've never dealt with before. And that could be a friend or a stranger or family member who actually reaches out to you, and you hear that they want help. And just to know where this is located and the services that are provided really, I think, would make the conversation go smoothly and actually be helpful. Because then you could say, hey, I went to this one place and I know some of their resources. Let's go there together.
Right, right. And mm-hmm. and even if you just, if you're listening to this and you don't know somebody who's in recovery or been touched by recovery, and you're just curious to see what a bunch of really dedicated volunteers
right.
can do on a budget that wouldn't support a family of four for mm-hmm. 2 months. It's amazing, and it's you may find something there for yourself too. Because it's safe to say everybody has an issue at one time or another in their life. And knowing where to turn to find help with that can be daunting. You'll be able to meet some people here. You'll get it right away that these people care because they've been there.
Yeah.
It's really obvious for them.
It is. And then September 22nd, Latal Recovery Festival.
Woohoo!
And I believe that is that at the fairgrounds?
It is.
Yes. So the fairgrounds, which is basically across the street from Safeway. Oh, and I do want to back up to say that the September 15th Latal Recovery Center third birthday is, of course, downtown off of Main Street. And that is between One World Cafe and Wackadoo's. So, you know, when you go to Wackadoo's to get your hair cut by Tammy, it's the one right next door. And
more shameless promotion.
Shameless promotions. Gosh, if you guys could see how awesome my hair is, though, you'd want to go. It's beautiful. I'm just saying.
I'm glad they can't see your hair because then they could see mine, and which is why I have the perfect hairdo for radio.
So September 22nd, Latal Recovery Festival, which is at the Latal Fairgrounds. Come listen to community members share their stories of recovery. Enter Chili Cook-Off and join us for great food, door prizes, and fun. And that is 4:30 to 9 p.m. on September 22nd at the Latal
Fairgrounds. At the Latal County Fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to participate in the chili cook-off, you need to have your chili there by 4 o'clock, and they encourage you to bring a list of ingredients. I don't know if that's for the public judging or if people just want to know whether or not they're going to burn their esophagus to a crisp.
Because I suppose
some people like some really spicy chili.
Well, yeah, and you know, I guess in today's age, we have a lot of people have, you know, allergies to different kinds of things, and we don't want anyone's throat swelling closed because they're allergic to ingredients, I'm guessing, could be part of
it. Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And the fairgrounds are, if you don't know where they are, the address is actually 1021 Harold Street, but I think right across from Safeway is much better. Much better information. The recovery center proper address is 531 South Main Street, Suite B. Oh, and their open house is from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I believe the 15th, I believe that's a Saturday. Let me double check.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if it is, I do believe that the farmer's market still be going.
Yes.
What are the farmer market's hours right now?
I believe they run from 8 till 1. Somewhere right in there.
Yeah. So it's always kind of cool to go check all that stuff out, and then you can pop into the recovery center and do that as well.
Sure. And if you need to call recovery center, their number is 208-883-1045. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have any questions about any of the stuff we just talked about, they will be happy to
absolutely
fill you in and get you all the information you want or need. All through the month of September here on Recovery Radio, we're going to have interviews with people from the recovery center, people who are in recovery, mm-hmm. not necessarily, you know, not staff members, although we've had Daryl and RJ and, mm-hmm. and a host of others. So we will be having those people on. I also understand that at the, I don't see it noted here, at the Recovery Festival, there's, listen to community members, share mm-hmm. their stories of recovery. Yeah. So there'll be stories there too. And those are always fun.
Absolutely. I'd like to hear those as well.
Some are really sad, but they all seem to have a happy ending.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's just life. Life has its ups and downs through all of it, but it gets much better.
It does. It does. And, I'm pretty happy today. And that's more than I can claim from a long way down the road.
I'm definitely pretty grateful. I've been listening to Dave Ramsey lately, and I found myself wanting to say earlier, I'm better than I deserve.
Yeah.
If you listen to Dave Ramsey,
he
says that constantly. They'll be like, how are you doing? He's like, better than I deserve. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right. That's right. That's why when things upset me, I tend to pray for mercy instead of justice, because if I get justice,
we're in big trouble.
I am up the creek with half a paddle. I'm in big trouble there. Yeah.
So I'm just going to just do a quick plug on that real quick. So I've been working on my budget and trying to be much more aware and responsible for my finances, which is something I used to do before I got into, going full blast with my addiction and things. Mm-hmm. And since I've gotten into recovery, which will be 5 years, October 29th this year.
Woohoo.
Not quite there yet, but we're coming up on it.
That's right.
And so it's something that's kind of really come to be important that I need to work on. And I've been listening to his podcast, and I downloaded everydollar.com, which is a free like budgeting app that you can put on your phone. You can get it for Android or iPhone. And listening to his podcasts are really encouraging and helpful. And so I just wanted to mention that if anyone out there is kind of looking for some information or a free budget app, it's been helpful for me.
Right, right. Yeah. And I totally get that. While I was out there running and gunning, as they say, my finances, I mean, this is how I paid my bills. I'd get all the envelopes at the end of the month. I'd throw them up in the air, and the ones that landed on the edge and stayed there were the ones I paid, because all my money was going to booze and whatever.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I understand.
And coming back from that, I mean, honestly, my you know, I started drinking at an early age, and although my wife was, you know, thank God, she was the responsible one, kept us out of the poorhouse, you know, during all these years. But both of us were just kind of acted in panic mode as far as, you know, staying on top of bills and budgeting and saving money. What was that?
Right, right.
Who puts money in the bank? We barely have. But, you know, started taking steps, and this was pre-Dave Ramsey on the radio, but the concept is all there, starting with something as simple as what was called the 10% solution. So when you get your paycheck, you take 10% right off the top and put it in a savings account. And savings accounts used to be a pain in the butt.
They're not anymore.
To get into and access. I mean, you actually had to go somewhere, fill out a form, you know, talk to somebody, you know, and then get the money out. And so it was, you know, it was, you know, it was actual work.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you couldn't just pull a plastic card out of your pocket and say, I want that.
Right. And that's not really how that's going to happen as easy. You know, I think at this point you can tie your savings account to your checking and it can just take it right out for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's a done deal. And I was going to say some of the other interesting things that I've been learning, listening to that, speaking of plastic, is, that it has absolutely been proven that when you use your bank card or a credit card or something like that, that that transaction is definitely a different feel than when you use cash. You were talking about the envelope thing, and he talks about how, you know, like you divide up your things that you're going to do. Say you've got like a gas budget for the month, you put in an envelope, you use cash. Your say your Walmart or your food or whatever, you do those things using cash, just so that you can see, because a lot of times I agree, when I use my bank card, I don't even remember what it was that I spent, you know. I gotta look at the receipt later, and when I have to rifle through and use cash, it's noted in my brain. So they have proven that, like, scientifically, that that is a thing.
Absolutely. And
all the businesses know this.
For those people that may be thinking, oh, I don't know if that's true, all you have to do is take a trip to Las Vegas. There's no cash on the tables. It's all chips.
Chips. Oh, I hadn't thought about that before.
That's exactly. It's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. It's not money. It's chips.
Yeah. Because what made me realize as they were talking about this was, or he was talking about it. So it originally started out that in grocery stores, they didn't want to have, you know, that ability. They wanted people to use cash because they did identify that that was an issue, you know, as far as like how much money you spent. So they didn't want anyone to go, you know, to have a problem, you know, buying food. And so they kept it, you know, away from there for a while. And McDonald's was actually the first fast food place that started letting you use your cards, you know, because they knew that you would up the size. And I'm not trying to bag on McDonald's, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? It's a real thing.
Well, and there was also a lot of pushback in communities when credit cards really, you know, were starting out. Bank of America was the first one who issued a credit card. And then along came Diners and American Express. And these things were tailored towards wealthy people. But what they did was, not only did they charge outrageous interest if you carried an interest, but they also charge the vendor, the grocery store.
And now they still do some charging of the vendor.
Oh, they absolutely do.
It's terrible.
And it can get huge. And just recently, there was a huge, I think they were at, the ones I remember were at around between 1% and 2% of the purchase amount, which doesn't sound like a lot.
But
like
it
on
is.
Like a $10 bill, it's like, you know, a couple of cents. But, you know, if you're dealing in hundreds of thousands,
if you're a business,
millions or Walmart billions of dollars a year, that's a lot of money. And a lot of, because a lot of small vendors started using these, you know, plugging into your iPhone or, you know, little card readers, and you can start making payments directly through Apple Pay and all these other crazy ways to spend money without actually seeing it. They jacked the rates up on them. And now quite often you go into a place that's a, you know, small mom and pop type operation, and if you use a card, they tell you it's going to cost you an extra 50 cents to process a transaction. And it's unfortunate, but
it is what it is.
The banks are demanding it because they're not making a lot of money right now on interest. Well, on the interest rates of the cards there are, but you know, mortgages are down around, you know, 4 or 5%, something like that. And you know, if you open a savings account right now, just a regular passbook account, even at a credit union, you know, you'd be lucky to get 2%, return on your money, which is really, really low.
It is. I just wanted to say, like, especially, you know, for listeners who, this is a dreaded subject, which it can be for a lot of people, and it has been for me. I would encourage you to listen, or, you know, find something that, you know, you connect well with to be able to help you in this area. I really just didn't have any hope till more recently.
Yeah.
My son is a business major, and he sat with me and helped me work out like a pretty professional budget and everything like that. And it, you know, it was everything, your expenses. It also went into, like, you know, what's your debt? You know, doing your savings of $1,000, you know, your long-term savings of like $10,000, all those kind of things. And I had never dreamed that I would be able to do this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It just got roadblocked in my head a long time ago. And I just want to share that it really is possible, you know, after almost 20 years of just really not being on top of things and making a purchase and actually having fear, that, you know, maybe there may not be enough for something else that's more important, you know?
Right.
That feeling, I want that feeling to go away, you know?
Right.
I want to know that, okay, I can afford this because I have these other, you know, basic things taken care of. And I want to have that savings, you know? And I think it's about, what was it, 70 or 80%, I want to say 70, I think, percent of the population is paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
So that's the normal, and I want to be unnormal, and I want to not live paycheck to paycheck.
Right, exactly.
You know, and have savings. So,
yeah, I the number is staggering how many people are two paychecks away from bankruptcy.
I certainly am.
And not that bankruptcy is necessarily a horrible thing. I mean, it exists for a reason. We don't have debtor prison anymore.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people get, I have a good friend who just helped him clear out of it, using these, I call them loan sharks, but that's probably generous.
Yeah, that's a big number.
The title loans and payday loans where they're charging you 200%+ interest. They actually can't do business in New York anymore. The state of New York just said no.
Get the heck out of
here.
You're breaking families, like you are breaking people. Yeah. Because it's just horrible.
And anybody can walk in, you know, if you have any kind of income at all and borrow three times what your income is, and literally you'll be in debt for years. Like $1,200 this friend of mine was on the hook
because you can never and that's what, you know, is happening on these Dave Ramsey podcasts is people are calling with like some of them, it's a large amount of money that they have in debt. And he sits with them and he breaks it down and he talks to them and he gets, you know, what's your income, what's your debt, what's, you know,
right.
talks to them very kindly about their situation and then helps them to understand, you know, the steps that they need to take. And it's amazing how by at the end, it's like, you know, people can clean this up in like 6 months to 4 years. You
right,
know,
exactly.
I mean, as long as they
what,
buckle
what
down.
Seems to be what overwhelming. Seems to be,
right. People are like, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. I mean, this is going to take me 20 years. And he's like, okay, hold on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I think it's amazing.
Well, and that's because, you know, people tend to, you know, become overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially yep. when it comes to, you know, issues of money. You know, it's like, oh my God, I'm never, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you can. And here's the fun part, because I love Dave Ramsey. I actually listened to him years and years, way back when I was doing patrol work. Listen to him on the radio. He'd be on late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And his message and his process mm-hmm. that he gives away for free, which
yeah.
is the only reason I would talk about him on the radio anyway,
right. yeah.
Because, you know, we're not selling anything here.
No, no. We're just talking about what's helping, yeah.
He gives this information for free. If you want to get smarter, he's got information you can pay for, too.
Sure, he does.
But he's been doing this for years yeah. and years and years, and he's a Christian.
Yes.
And he lives his belief, which I think is great for, you know, for him. And he really has a strong desire to help people. And it's funny, but you'll hear, it's like when I go into an AA meeting, I hear the same stories over and over again from different people.
Yeah.
Same thing on this program. Oh, help me, Dave. I'm drowning in debt. I'm never going to get out of here. You know, it's just,
it kind
things
of
are awful. And he just, like you said,
yeah, calmly,
calms them down, mm-hmm. gets them to take a breath, gives them the baby steps.
Yep.
And they work their way out of it, and they have these big celebrations,
right?
Mm-hmm. Call in and scream, "I'm debt free!"
Yeah, and usually honors them with that.
Yeah, and it happens all the time. Yeah. People actually travel to the station that he does his broadcast from mm-hmm. to stand out there when he comes out from his show and do the debt free scream.
Well, and because they sacrifice, and I mean, they really stuck to, you know, what they needed to do.
Rice
That's
and
an
beans,
amazing,
baby.
Right?
Rice
exactly.
And beans.
It's an amazing accomplishment, just like how we honor people in recovery and things like that. That's
exactly.
That's so awesome when someone can, you know, step up and take care of their debt and be honorable and everything. That's so cool.
Well, one of the really interesting things I've heard on this show too, I've heard people call in and they're telling, got all this debt, you know, mm-hmm. thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
and
hundreds of thousands.
The mortgage
sometimes.
And da-da-da-da. And he'll ask him the question, well, how much do you make? I'm like, well, between my husband and I make $150,000 a year. And it's like, mm-hmm. what?
Right.
$150,000?
It's not 000? How much we make. It's how we spend it. It's
exactly.
We have to live below our means, not above them. That's what my son said to me. I remember so he started helping me about like a month ago, and I said, oh, you know, it's like, Christopher, I can't do this. You know, like I just don't even know what to do. And he just looks at me, and it's funny because I know this, and he says, Mom, it's not about how much money you make. It's not. He's like, it's about living within your means or below your means. And I was like, okay. Because I just didn't really have anything organized, you know?
Right.
And so, but that's the truth, though. It doesn't matter if you make $100,000 or $10,000. It really doesn't. It's about how you spend your money and about making sure that you keep track of it in the beginning and understand where it's going. And that's the stage I'm in.
Making
a budget. And
making good decisions, too.
Exactly. Because a lot of what we do is emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a coffee sitting in front of me. So I didn't bring water today. I forgot my water bottle. And so I went down to the corner and got a coffee. Well, that cost $5.
Right.
So that was kind of an emotional decision that was also started from, you know, poor planning, which was not bringing my water bottle, you know.
Right.
But, you know, it's a learned thing, and I know that happens. But that's a lot of times that's what my coffee or some other little purchases will be. They'll be emotional.
Right.
And
right.
I have to start to learn myself so that I can start making better decisions and, you know, just start doing that.
Well, I think I can speak for most guys, you know, in my age bracket that, you know, have saved up a little bit of money and we're mm-hmm. doing okay. You walk into a Costco and what's the first thing they hit you with? 75-inch OLED, ultra-high definition, 4K monster. You can get a sunburn in front of this thing. You know, it's like, do I really need that? You know, do I really need that? And that's what I have to ask myself anymore. Yeah. And it trickles down to the silliest little thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Ooh, this fishing lure looks nifty. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's only $1.98. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to listen to the little voice in the back of my head that says, you know, you got 14 of those that are still in the packages, and you haven't gone fishing in a year. So.
Yeah. And that's
maybe,
a thing.
Maybe you can just back off of that for now.
When I was a senior in high school, I wound up taking something called senior communications. And it was basically about advertising and that kind of thing. And I forget because I graduated high school quite some time ago. But anyways, we'll just say that. But anyway, so it talked about how many, you know, I don't even know what the number was of advertisements that you're subjected to each day. I mean, I don't mean to make that, use the word subjected, make it sound just horrible, but I'm just saying that you see each day that come either into your ear or you see visually. And it's quite a bit, you know.
Oh, it's a huge number.
Yeah. So
advertising makes it happen. I mean, that's, you know.
And
television, when television started out, it was basically designed as a vehicle to sell soap. TV sells soap.
The soapbox is that
the early dramas, soap operas. Oh. The reason they called them soap operas
was
because
of that?
They sold laundry soap
on
the commercials, and they were on in the middle of the day when the man of the house was out working, earning the living, and the wife was at home. Tending to the children, doing the laundry.
Okay, so now was this before laundry machines, or what was the deal? What was going on at that time?
Oh no, there were automated laundry machines. But
I'm sorry,
you got to remember, television is really mid late 50s, and into the early 60s before it really became a common household fixture.
Right. Absolutely,
so to speak.
So it was basically about advertisements and about soap. That's crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I find myself occasionally at home in the middle of the day, and flip on any channel, whether it's a soap opera or a game show or whatever, the advertising is still primarily targeted towards women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feminine hygiene products.
Stuff for your home, your bathroom.
Yeah. It hasn't changed
a
lot.
And that theme of like, you know, how much better your life will be, or how much more people will like you, or the status thing. I mean, that's so a real thing. I mean, I think pretty much everyone knows that, you know.
Golf tournaments. Almost exclusively the sponsors, the advertisers on golf commercials are all money managers or banks.
Yeah.
Alcohol,
sporting
goods, beer.
Mm-hmm.
beer.
So I was gonna say, so I mean, I don't mean to bring all this up to like, you know, bag on the commercials, but I mean just an understanding that we see all this all the time, and so it's kind of normal to want to purchase these things that we're seeing.
It causes an impulse.
So just be aware of that.
It creates a false need.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I want to be handsome like that fellow, so I need to, and I want the girls all over me, so I have to get X body spray, which actually will make rats run.
Well, so we take a quick...
Why don't we take a quick break to look at some advertising? and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this, that, and the other, and whatever else.
You're listening to Recovery Radio on KRFB in Moscow, Pullman.
Let me tell you people that I found a new way, and I'm tired of all this talk about love, and the same old story with a new set of words about the good and the bad and the poor. And the times keep on changing, so I'm keeping on top of every fat cat who walks through my door. I'm a space cowboy, bet you were ready.
I was born on this rock, and I've been traveling through space since the moment I first realized. What all you fast-talking cats would do if you could. You know I'm ready for the final surprise. There ain't no way around it, ain't nothing to say. It's gonna satisfy my soul deep inside. All the prayers and surveyors keep the whole place uptight, while it keeps on getting darker outside. I'm a space cowboy, bet you weren't ready for that. I'm a space cowboy, I'm sure you know where it's at.
And that was little Steve Miller there for you, Space Cowboy. And we are back on Radio Recovery. She's Denise.
Hello, everyone.
I'm Johnny, I think. Let me check. Yep. And, God, I'm so glad the state of Idaho gives you these little plastic cards with your picture and name on them.
Oh.
Your birthday and all that stuff.
Oh, meow. I got to get mine renewed next month, too.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Birthday coming up?
Yes, yes. In September.
Me too.
I'm a September 25th baby.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yep. And my granddaughter is as well. And then my second youngest daughter is, are you really going to kill that fly? He did. Wow. I'd wash your hands later. Anyways, and
Give me a hug.
I don't want to give you the fly germs. I'll get those mosquitoes though. I'll even kill some spiders with my hand. And man, I think I've mentioned this. I am a hero for my girls for killing spiders with my hands.
Really?
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Eat one sometime. You'll become a god.
Yeah. They're amazed because, you know, like they just think that's so brave. It used to be with my shoe, but if I can't get to a shoe in time, then yeah, I'm taking it out.
You only have like a 50,000 to 1, you know, weight to mass ratio for spiders.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a close friend, rest his soul, Jim DeVell. This fella used to literally hang by his toenails. 700 feet up in the air. He's an iron worker, and you know, grind away, welding slag over his head while the wind's pushing the stack back and forth 30 feet in the breeze. This guy would call me up in the middle of the night. He lived right next door to me.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Tell us to get over here. The spider is huge. Oh, my God, it's huge. You got to get over here. I'd go over there, and it's like a daddy long leg.
Wow.
And I'm like, take my thumb. And
yeah.
He'd scream like a little girl. This guy would get in bar fights and, you know, take out two or three people.
But when it came to a spider,
that was it, man.
See, and that's kind of a thing. I think at some point in time, well, I went to community college for a little while. I was going to be... I was in psych. I had a psych degree. We're working on a psych degree. And it talked about all those kinds of things, you know, with things that you're afraid of or phobias or whatever. And yeah, so. But it's normal to be a little girl and not like spiders.
Yeah, that's.
That's normal.
No.
But
no.
I mean, I know there's some adults. I have to say snakes and gross things like that don't. That doesn't sit well with me. Plus, here in Moscow, and I know that there's some poisonous spiders here, but for the most part, I just got some hobos in my house.
Yeah.
Or some annoying, just kind of, you know, fast running spiders or whatever. Right. Yeah. The hobos are just like blind. And, you know, I mean, you don't want to get bit by them because I think that they can make you sick or whatever, but they're just kind of. They just grow and kind of just hang out and whatever.
Right.
They get really big.
And
though.
They eat other annoying bugs as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as long as they stay outside, I'm okay with spiders and snakes
and stuff
like that.
The mosquito hawks or whatever, the ones that eat the mosquitoes?
Crane flies, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we pretty much honor those. And we're just like, all right, you just stay in the house and you just eat all the mosquitoes because we don't like mosquitoes, you know?
Yeah, I think
I mean, those are great. I'm like, don't kill those. Let them stay. They're good. Yay.
I was walking. We had to move furniture in and out of our place for this carpeting job that got done last week. And I was out running around doing some errands. I get a phone call from my wife. She goes, are you coming home soon? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, there's a like 6-inch praying mantis on the curtains. I'd like you to come. I know you don't want me to kill it. I'd like you to come home and take care of it outside.
Yeah.
And it was so cute because she was just like, I know you like them. I know you don't want me to just crush it like I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went home and here's this huge.
They're interesting looking, aren't they?
And, yeah, they are. They're
really
fabulous to look at. And they have a very odd mating habit once the male copulates, the female turns around and bites his head off.
Yeah, I think I heard something about
that.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
That's pretty raw. Yeah. And not that
insects
I don't know some humans like that, but
right? Insects are interesting. I was just, let's see. So we got about 5 minutes left. I just wanted to double check. Do we have any more announcements or anything?
I think the big stuff going on right now is just the big, you know, next month.
Okay.
Recovery festival on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
The Recovery Center's big birthday on the 15th from 10 to 1. And that, again, that's on the Saturday, same time as the farmer's market. So, you know, go on down there and stop in. You know, be food and birthday cake and. And then, for sure, try and check out on the 22nd, the Recovery Festival. It's going to be fun. I haven't seen what the door prizes are yet. You know, people in this town are very generous. And the Latah Recovery Center, having been to their fundraisers the last couple of years and helping out with those, there's some pretty high-powered people in this town that support it, and they own businesses, and they're extremely generous, and mostly want to remain anonymous. So I'm not going to throw out any names. They know who they are, and they know what they do. It's a good thing, and I'm sure there'll be lots of goodies and lots of fun, and you can learn a little bit about recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I encourage any students, any of our new students coming into the U of I this week, you might want to check it out, too. You never know when you're going to have to need a lifeline.
Well, yeah, and just, you know, you're a part of a big school. You're going to run into a lot of people. And like I said earlier about those conversations that can just come up,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, on the show we've had conversations and people in to talk about like suicide prevention and different kinds of things. Was it Sharon Fritz?
Yeah.
So we had Sharon Fritz in, just kind of a shout out about that. So I'm trying to remember, Johnny, I'm sure you'll be able to help me. So over at the U of I, she works there and she helps out in this area and teaches.
The counseling center.
Yeah. So the counseling center. So if you know of anyone or if you're having any struggles in that,
want to be prepared.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Because I mean, you can call the suicide hotline or talk to her, even if you're just struggling a little bit. You don't have to be at that point where you're, you know,
right. And, you know, and you don't have to necessarily know somebody who's on the edge.
Right.
It's like learning CPR.
Yeah.
You don't learn it because you expect to be in it. You know, mm-hmm. if you're a paramedic, okay. Yeah. Sure. You're probably going to have to use it. But
right.
if you're, you know, just like Denise
or
myself,
it's a life-saving situation that can help. Yeah.
You know, I learned CPR, you know, years and years mm-hmm. and years ago. And, you know what? Never had to use it, but you know what? I know how
right.
to use it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And people need to. You know, let's face it, in the world today, in college lifestyle, mm-hmm. things get crazy fast. And mm-hmm. if you're prepared, you know, you can save a life. So why not do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's a lot of really great resources, and we will try to mention other ones that we come across, because I know that we have a lot of students back in town. What does the school's like? What, 20,000? Students,
something like that. Yeah. And that's just the U of I.
Right.
WSU,
right.
They were talking about, this is the largest freshman class they've ever had.
Yeah,
it's
so
record breaking.
We'll try to make sure that we bring in some information that can benefit the college students that are here now. And just a shout out that you know, about the Lake Tahoe Recovery Center and some different kinds of things in the community, so that new students, especially ones that are new to our area that are attending their first semester here, would have some information.
First time away from home.
Yeah. Especially. Especially.
You don't have that immediate mm-hmm. safety net. That can be frightening.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I couldn't wait to be out of my home, but you know, when I was
and,
a kid. But
and just keep in mind,
it's a whole different deal when you actually get out there. It was not nearly as exciting as I thought it would be.
Yeah. And keep in mind, if you are a student that's here, you know, your first semester, and you're running into any kind of, you know, questions or areas that you need help with, you know, the school, the U of I and WSU, they've been doing this for, you know, like 100 years. They can definitely help answer any concern or question. You just get a hold of, you know, who would be the appropriate person, a counselor or something, teacher, whoever, just grab somebody. But just remember, being a freshman or being new at school, it's a big change, you know? So get a support group around yourself, you know? Find a few people that are knowledgeable, a few peers and things like that, and, you know, just make sure you're talking.
And just because we're old folks doesn't mean we don't care about you kids.
We most definitely do, and we've been there.
Been there, done that.
Yes.
And listen to Recovery Radio. You might learn something.
Exactly.
I know I do.
I do.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, kids, it's time for us to get out of here and make space for Craig coming in with his show.
Yeah.
And Denise, pleasure is mine, as always.
Thank you, Johnny.
And we will see you guys next week.
Yep, next week, 1 to 2.
Dog.